Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for Tell Me Why with Graham Finlay. If you have a question for Graham, you can send it in to afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question is, why are parrots the only non-humans who can talk, which we already know isn't true? And Graham joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Graham.
Good afternoon.
How many animals so far have you been able to count that can talk?
Well, there's lots of different individual species of animals, but there are five groups of mammals: humans, bats, elephants, and seals, plus cetaceans, dolphins, whales, and then birds, parrots, songbirds, and hummingbirds. Now, I haven't actually seen hummingbirds engage in this kind of vocal learning, as we say, and imitating human beings, but, you know, they move very quickly.
So right.
It's kind of hard to pin them down on that.
And
these are all, I mean, to be fair, these are all animals which are trying to imitate human speech. Not all of them do nearly as well as parrots, but they're trying.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, God loves a trier, etc. So I suppose Let's start with the parrot. Why is it? Is it known why parrots are so good at it? And is it a particular sort of parrot that tends to be distinctive at this?
Some parrots are better than others. Gray parrots are particularly good. Most of the very famous talking parrots have been gray parrots, but there are other things. They don't have the largest vocabulary. Even the smartest and best and famous gray parrots have vocabularies of about 100 words. This was Alex, who lived to the ripe old age of 31 and had a truly astonishing ability, because he was being trained by a Harvard cognitive psychologist, to not just utter words or imitate words, but to actually put them together in terms of concepts like bigger than or yummy, you know, yummy bread, you know, for cake and things like that. So that helped in some ways. And that's why, you know, psychologists are really interested in this, to try and figure out whether animals are only imitating us or whether they're actually talking in the sense of using words with meaning.
Mm.
And there are these ferocious debates about which a lot really depends, you know, over whether they are just really good at taking cues from human beings, and, you know, they're always being rewarded for making these distinctions or behaving in this particular way, or whether they are just actually thinking through the words, actually using the words in ways where they might even innovate. And so there's another couple birds. So Alex the bird, you know, did put things together like yummy cake. He also described apples as bananas because he thought they tasted a bit like bananas, but they looked like a big cherry. There's also the bird which fronts is the lead singer indeed for the band Hatebeak, who likes bananas and likes crackers. And so when she was given banana chips, called them banana crackers, which seems like they're innovating over the basic ideas of bananas and crackers as the sort of names for the objects. So partly it's because parrots are really smart. And just as all of these other animals which can do it, are both smarter than, say, some other animals. I'm not going to go into the dogs and cats, how smart they are thing again. We don't want to relive that that debate. But, you know, they're also extremely social animals. And so all of them want to integrate with whatever community they find themselves in. And parrots, if you take them and put them in your house and start talking to them about crackers, will want to imitate the sounds which humans make around them.
Right. And is it just for the purposes of communicating with the bipeds it's seeing nearby?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, whatever they've got. I mean, we find with parrots that they have regional dialects when they go and, you know, if they go to Costa Rica, for example, the different parts of the country have different parrot, you know, dialects, and that parrots who move to a different part of the country pick up the local dialect very quickly, partly because if you don't speak the way the people do around here, you'll be ostracized by the other parrots, and that is not good for your survival. So this imitative ability, which, relatively few creatures have, to learn new ways of speaking or singing or whatever, is really vital to their survival and has a lot of evolutionary benefits. So the other thing is parrots have quite a thick but flexible tongue, and so they're able to imitate human sounds a lot better, along with like lyrebirds, who we really have to talk about. But what's really interesting is that they're making the sounds, not with their larynx, and we've already talked about larynxes on the show, which is how we make sounds, but with their syrinx. So the larynx is sort of in the throat, whereas the syrinx is down in their chest. And it's a completely different sort of structure. It's cartilage, and it's quite a crude sort of structure, but birds use it to make quite complex sounds, and it's particularly amazing in parrots.
Right. Okay. Because, you know, you'd wonder then if parrots imitate human speech. A parrot in the wild, is it sitting around on trees imitating monkeys and sloths and whatever it hears?
Parrots don't seem to do that. Apparently, they don't want to bond with the monkeys, but they do imitate other parrots. And in fact, speech can get passed around in parrot communities. And so sometimes, apparently in Australia, where a lot of this crazy stuff happens, you'll be in a public park and a parrot will say to you, "Hello, darling," and just like that.
Yeah.
And they think it's because pet parrots have escaped into the wild. And, you know, and then the feral parrots learned it from the escaped pet parrots. These things can actually pass down generations. Again, the most remarkable version of this is the Australian lyrebird, which is famous for imitating everything it hears in its environment. And it's especially the male lyrebird, although the female sings and imitates when she's nesting or she's under some kind of threat. But the male lyrebird, who, like so many male birds, has a very impressive set of rear feathers, will imitate for hours in search of a mate and just stand on a log and perform. You've got to see David Attenborough's coverage of this, where they imitate all, they have their own songs, and then they imitate all the songs of all the other birds and animals in the forest, like, you know, koalas and things like that. And then it starts imitating camera noises, car alarms, you know, chainsaws, with a really uncanny sort of sound. And it's just sort of showing off, basically, at this point, but it seems to work.
Yeah, but that would kind of imply that the lyre hasn't a clue what it's saying. It's just like doing noises.
Yeah, indeed. And so the thing with the lyrebird is various sounds can be passed down through the community. And there's this big debate over whether a flute-like song, which some lyrebirds were singing in Australia, was because a guy who was a flautist decades ago had a lyrebird as a pet, which he was playing songs to, and then released the pet. And still decades later, the people, you know, the local lyrebirds were making flute songs. There's a debate over, again, you know, whether that actually happened, what the songs were. You know, scientists really try to nail these things down. But I mean, it's amazing that these things can be passed on simply by hearing other birds do it.
Now, going back to doing it for social reasons, tell us about Nock, NOC, a beluga whale.
Yeah, now these are quite exceptional cases, but there are lots of interesting cases of other animals trying to imitate the sounds of their human carers, let's call them, right? So as opposed to captors or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these are animals which are quite rare, but they go to quite heroic levels of attempting to communicate with the humans, or at least imitate them. Now, whales are quite clever, and Nock was captured at a very young age and has been raised in captivity, and he inflates his nasal passages in a quite, you know, fairly dramatic way, so he can make sounds like human speech.
Right, so, okay. We do actually have a clip of that, just so people can get an idea of what we're talking about. That's a whale playing the yazoo.
I think it's what an average human office sounds like if you really just are, you know, trying to tune it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the teacher in the Charlie Brown special, like, wah, 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 right? He's like a surly teenager who's just not really listening to you. No, I mean, he's making fun of you. It's, you know, it's like it's a very sing-song imitation of human beings, so...
But there's something going
on. Whether that's Canadian English, I'm not totally sure.
But there's something going on in his brain, though, where he knows that these sounds have some significance.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's an elephant in Korea who seems to respond to sounds. And so he can be, you know, but again, this is where is he just being trained, or is he, you know, actually understanding the words, and so in some higher sense of understanding. And so he can be told to lie down, and the Korean word for lie down, and he will do it. But he doesn't seem to expect when he says nuo, which is lie down, apparently, that his human trainers are going to lie down, right? So that's the question about whether he's actually having a conversation with you or not. The other thing is, again, if you can look at this visually, it's really something. He does it against all odds because the elephants don't really have the muscle structure for human speech, right? Which is why they don't tend to talk. But he puts his trunk into his mouth, and it's almost like the sort of we're working with the trumpet. I was blanking on the name of the device you use to make your trumpet.
A trumpet, like yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It'll come to me as soon as we stop talking. But he puts his trunk in his mouth, and he's able to make quite remarkable human sounds, which presumably sound even more impressive in Korean if you understand Korean.
Yeah.
So, and then there's an orangutan in Germany who also was captured at a very young age and is trying to sort of relate to her zoo keepers, and she also is trying through a quite heroic effort to sort of deepen her voice to imitate human speech, because one of the striking things about this is human speech is quite low. Parrots have this ability to lower the depth of their voice to imitate human speech, whereas if they're just imitating parrot calls or other parrots, you know, it's much, much higher.
Yeah, we'll leave it on that note, Graham. Thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Graham Finlay. You are listening to The Moncrief Show.
Moncrief on News Talk.